the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And
your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The pastor generally doesn't read the first lesson, but I asked to read it today, partly because it's not the appointed lesson for the day, the appointed Old Testament lesson. But I heard recently that your pastor has an injured hip, and this text seemed to speak to that. So I'm going to ask you to listen today to this Old Testament lesson and find good news in it. A reading from Genesis. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord, word of life.
Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all other."
All my life.
Those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds," he also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord.
I think some of us have met before. What was that? Oh, no, I don't need to say it. It really doesn't bother me that much. Actually, I understand that your pastor recently has injured her hip. He's probably going to need some tender, loving care in the days to come. Let me ask, can you hear me all right? Is the microphone on? Hey, we didn't have that kind of thing back in my days. You know, I'd like to tell you my story about this hip. Maybe there's some lessons we can learn together, or maybe you can help me figure out what happened there. My family was at the fort of Java. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you we were running away from my brother, Esau. You see, I deceived my father, and I stole his birthright, my brother's, his right to the inheritance of my father's estate. And he was mad, as you can probably guess, right? So he's been chasing me across the desert, me and my families. We finally got in this place, Jabbok, where I felt like I had enough. This noise was the realization that this enemy wasn't trying to take my wives, or my sheep, or my wealth. In some ways, what it was about is my identity. Who I am. Yes, I know. I was beginning to see myself as a thief of my brother's inheritance. Or maybe someone who's going to be on the run for the rest of their life. But this incident challenged me to think of who I was. What is this identity? What's my purpose? What's my meaning? I don't think the angel was really trying to pin me down. I think the angel was trying to open me up. That's when I began to think that maybe this wasn't just a stranger, a man that I was wrestling with. Someone else has suggested that maybe it was an angel, a messenger of God. Have you ever confused angels and enemies? When you thought someone had intruded into your life, unwelcomed, ruined your day, that you saw as an enemy, actually turns out to be a blessing, to have hidden blessings along the way. We sometimes can confuse angels and enemies. And there I was, just starting to get a grasp on all this, And that angel leaves home. He wants to leave. I wanted to hang on to him. I wanted more answers, not like getting a trophy that you can take home. The blessing I wanted was somehow understanding what this was about. My friend Jane, she's got many of those questions. Why me? Why now? Why cancer? And those answers and those questions are hard to pin down sometimes. And yet, Jane, though she hates this disease that she's fighting, also says that the disease has shown her some of the most important things in her life. Who and what is most important? She actually uses the word blessing in talking about her cancer. Maybe blessing is knowing for sure that God is not out to harm you. He promised to pull promises and blessings from that. How tempting it is, isn't it, when things are not going well, to leave the enemy go? When you feel like you want to run away, just get away from it all, how tempting it is just to step out and fight. But maybe if we've got the courage to stay in that struggle, even when it's painful, that's when we are able to bring blessings. Then the angel did a strange thing. She gave me a new name. I was Jacob. So what's this about? Why do I get a new name? Israel, the name that the angel gives me. One who has struggled with God and with humans and prevailed is what it means in my Hebrew language. I wanted a blessing and I get a new name. But maybe that is the blessing. Getting the new name. That is getting the new identity somehow out of that event, out of that struggle that we were in. Realizing that God is changing me in that process, bringing me new blessings. So then I decided, well, that's fair game. I'll ask the angel for his name. After all, we all know that knowing someone is...
And yet there's this tradition that I come from, and somehow my voice just got louder. The Jewish tradition that says, but you can't name God. God is too holy to be contained in a name or an experience. So in a struggle when we want to understand, and sometimes when we feel like we're catching on finally, we don't always have the whole understanding. God is always greater than that name that we are willing to put on that experience or than the name we understand God was present with us. So the angel wouldn't give me his name. So I decided, since I couldn't pin a name on God, I would pin a name on the place, Peniel, which means I've encountered God face to face, and I'm still surviving. How often an intruder breaks into our lives, and it's like an enemy that enters into us. He tests our strength, he interrupts our rest, maybe challenges the ways we think. But sometimes we then discover that this intruder actually comes with blessings. Blessings that we might not even have thought of or even have asked for. So here I am with this hip. And you know, I don't see it as a punishment or a warning from God. I see it rather as a way God wants to remind me. Remind me of the struggle that I've gone through with God. Somehow that angel touching my hip, putting it out of joint, has become a place of remembrance for me. Blessing, I don't think, always means taking the pain away. It's rather an understanding that God, present even in those painful moments in our lives, can bring blessings out of them. Which makes me remember another story, one that I think you know very well. It's also about a messenger from God. And he's come to wrestle with you and with me and with all humankind. And yet he's the one who walks away wounded from that struggle. Not a hip like me, but scars on his hands and on his feet and on his side. Those wounds too are a place of remembrance. You'd think God could heal such ugly wounds, especially on one he loves, but they remain for the rest of Jesus' life, for the Jesus that we have come to know. They remain as a place of remembrance, remembrance that even in the darkest places in our lives as human beings, the cruelty we can do, the kind of treatment that leaves those scars on a person, God does not abandon us, that God is there among us and intends to surround us with his care and love. Now we as Christians, through the centuries, have come to realize that this wasn't just another person. This wasn't just another human force among us. It wasn't even just an angel, a messenger of God among us. We have come to say, this is the face of God. Peniel, the place I named the place after. But it's not a place now, it's a person. And this person has given us a name by which we can call God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. You are invited today, as you are every Sunday that you come to church, to touch those places of remembrance on our Lord. Come to the table, taste and see, touch my wounds is the invitation. This is my body, this is my blood. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering that in the darkest night that we go through, just as Jesus did, that he is, as Jesus tells us himself, I am with you always. And God's intent in my coming is to bring blessings to you, even when you struggle with those hard things in your life. Jesus invites us to see life's struggles, those difficult things, the dark hours that we face, the pain that sometimes is there, to see them in a new light, the dawning light of God's kingdom. And you're invited to follow this Jesus, even if you limp. Amen.